Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21, the second to the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 21, and I'll be reading the first four verses of Revelation chapter 21. Keep in mind that there is an outline as well that I've inserted in your bulletins, which may help you as you follow along this morning and listen to the proclamation of God's Word. But let's begin with our scripture reading, Revelation chapter 21, as we near the end of our series on the book of Revelation. We find ourselves this morning in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Thus the reading of God's Word this morning as we find it in Revelation chapter 21. The passage before us this morning is one of my favorite passages in all the Scriptures. This is one of those passages that is often read by pastors as they meet with people who are facing a serious illness or a serious surgery, to be reminded of the glories of heaven and to be given a peek into what heaven is like. That's what this passage does for us this morning. It gives us a peek into heaven, a peek into what it will be like when we go to heaven. Like Moses, who stood on Mount Nebo and looked into the promised land. This Moses who had led Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness. Moses who was not allowed to enter the promised land. But God took him up Mount Nebo before his death to look into that long-sought promised land that he had led God's people to, so that before his death he could have a peek of the promised land. So this morning, as we find ourselves in Revelation 21, we are given a peek into heaven, a peek into the land which is our promised land, a peek and a picture of what it will be like when you go there. Now notice this morning the particular structure of our text. You notice at in the center of verse 1, it tells us that the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. As you go to verse 4, you can see that it ends with that very same language. Verse 4 ends, "The old order of things has passed away." We find that phrase "has passed away" in verse 1. We find that phrase "has passed away" in verse 4. This signals to us that these verses are like an inclusio in our text, meaning that the thoughts articulated in the first verse are concluded by the thoughts in the last verse as John is given this vision from heaven. How does that help us this morning in the understanding of what these verses are saying? It reminds us that as we look in particular at verse 1, let's not get caught up in some of the details as people do concerning the new heaven and the new earth. Will the old earth be destroyed and will there be a new earth? Or will the old earth be restored and renewed and made into a new earth? These kinds of discussions and debates have gone on for many, many years. But this inclusio reminds us that let's not just stop at verse 1. But what God has to say in verse 1 is concluded in verse 4. And the message, the true message of these verses, including verse 1, is the whole of these four verses. Well, what is that message that God wants us to know? What is it about these verses that give us this peek into heaven? You notice there in verse 1, that it speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. This verse is speaking of what that place will be like. John sees a new heaven and new earth, and it's contrasted with the second part of that verse, that the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. In the previous chapter, we read of the destruction of the old order of things. All through the book of Revelation, we have been reading about Satan's attack on the church. He attacks the church, we have learned, through political means. The beast from the earth, the nations of the world that are hostile to God, that bring their wrath upon the church of God. He attacks the church through deceptive teachings and philosophies and deceptive viewing as he communicates his deceptive message that there is no God, or that you should not follow God or God's word. This is the beast of the earth. Satan does everything in his power to have the peoples of the earth, the nations of the earth, to follow him and bring his attack upon the church. This is what we have seen throughout the book of Revelation. But Revelation told us that God will destroy all of that. God will destroy the beast of the sea and the beast of the earth. God will destroy the nations that have followed Satan and brought their attack and wrath upon the church of Christ as the church has suffered in this world. God will destroy the false prophets, the false teaching, the false teachers and philosophers. God will destroy, we learned in Revelation 20, all those who do not love and serve him. They will be thrown into the eternal lake of fire for everlasting destruction. They will be thrown into the sea. And throughout the book of Revelation, the sea represents evil. The sea is where the beast of the sea has come from. The sea is where the beast and the false prophet and Satan are thrown. And Revelation 20, we read that the sea is the place, or the lake of fire the place, where all those who have not loved Christ and have followed the false teachings and false gods in this world, where they will be thrown. And so as John flips the page in his vision to Revelation 21, and he begins Revelation 21, we're told that that old order of things is no longer. There is a new heaven and a new earth. And as John looks up in verse 2, what does he see? He sees a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Remember in the Old Testament, the city of man. Remember the Tower of Babel, that building of the Tower of Babel that the nations of the world had sought to do. The men of the earth trying to build a tower from earth that would reach up into heaven. A city of man, a tower of man. But when John comes to the concluding part of the book of Revelation and all the Bible, he looks up and does not see a city made by man or that man could create. He sees a city of God. A city that is coming down from heaven, from God. A city without foundations. A city, Hebrews 12 tells us, whose maker and founder is God. And what he sees in the description, verse 2, a holy city. No sin in this place. It is a place of perfect righteousness and holiness. The name of the city, we're told, is the New Jerusalem. This is not the Old Testament Jerusalem, the Old Testament city of the earth that was declared the city of Jerusalem and the city, the shadow city of the people of God. But John looks into heaven and he sees the New Jerusalem, a city without foundations, whose builder and maker is God, that comes down from heaven. A city, we're told, at the end of verse 2, that is prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So if this is not a Jerusalem city of the earth, if this is not directing us back to the Old Testament once again, what kind of a city is this, and who is a part of this city? As you drop down in Revelation 21, John makes it more clear in verses 9 and 10. There we're told that one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. The bride of the Lamb is the church of Jesus Christ. What John sees coming out of heaven is the church of Jesus Christ, the people of God, the people who have been saved by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That church is pictured to us in verse 2 as a beautiful bride, a bride that walks down the aisle of her wedding day and sees the smiling groom at the end of the aisle. This beautiful bride is the church of Jesus Christ that God has prepared for this glorious wedding day of perfect union, body and soul. Remember, they are raised from the dead in chapter 20. Body and soul together in perfect union with its groom, its Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Her sins washed away and perfectly holy. So as John looks now and he's given this peek into heaven, as he sees the city coming down, the church of Jesus Christ who have been saved by grace and the blood of our Savior, what is John told about that city? Verse 3, John is told through a voice. A voice from the throne which gives explanation of what goes on in that city and what that city will be like. Verse 3 tells us that John heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Do you remember how the Bible begins? At creation, God creates a garden where he will dwell with man, Adam and Eve. Satan comes into the garden. He tempts man. He tempts Satan and Eve. He tempts Adam and Eve. And through his temptation, they eat of the tree that God commanded them not to eat of. And they fall into sin. God, because they are unholy sinners now, cannot dwell with them in that place. They are driven out of the presence of God as sinners. They are put outside of the garden, the dwelling place of God, the angels with the cherubim and their flaming swords guarding the entrance into the garden, lest they enter as unholy sinners and be with a holy God, and they die. But as you look at our text this morning in Revelation 3, we're told that God now dwells in this place with men. The dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. If you look again at the word in the first part of that quote from the voice from heaven, it tells us that the dwelling of God, and in many of your Bibles there is a footnote which reminds us that there is another way of translating this word. Now the tabernacle of God is with men. The King James Version even translates it tabernacle. The tabernacle of God is with men. The word is a reminder of the Old Testament tabernacle. that tabernacle which was placed by God at the center of the camp of the Israelites, the people of God. That tabernacle where there was inside a holy of holies where God's presence was, and the high priest could only enter once a year on the Day of Atonement, once the sacrifice had been made, lest the presence of a holy God would put him to death. They always tied him with a rope in case that he went between the curtains and the offering and the sacrifice was not received and God struck him down and they could pull him out of the Holy of Holies. The tabernacle was the place of the holy place, outside of the Holy of Holies, where only the priests could serve. Those dedicated to the service of God, they were the ones to tend to the altar of incense and the table of showbread and also to the lampstand. Outside was the courtyard where the people could go. Where before the entrance to the holy place was the altar where they would bring their animals, where they would bring their lambs and their bulls and whatever it was that they were bringing to sacrifice before God. But no one could enter into that holy of holies or that holy place. For God was holy and the people were sinners and sacrifices had to be made. But now we're reminded in Revelation 21 that that separation between a holy God and His people is no more. That as John looks up to heaven and sees the new Jerusalem, the tabernacle of God, we're told, is with man. This is the voice from the throne. This is what God Himself is saying. The tabernacle of God is with men. No more separation between unholy man and a holy God. God dwells with man. He will live with man. They will be His people, His covenant people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. How did this happen? How can this be? A holy God to dwell with His people? It is because of that groom. That groom who stands waiting for His bride. That groom, Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Lamb, whose wife is the church. That groom, God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came, the first chapter of John tells us, to tabernacle among us. He came to dwell among us. He came to die on the cross. He came to pay for the sins of His people. He lived a life of perfect holiness, which by faith is applied to His people, that they can be holy. That they, knowing the curtain of the Holy of Holies was torn in two at His death, have access into the throne room of God. And know by faith that when our Lord returns, they will be in that holy city to dwell with God and His Son Jesus Christ forevermore, because they are the bride of that groom, His church. Think about what that means. No more separation between a holy God and His people. No more holy of holies or holy place. No more for you, God in heaven and you on earth. Instead, a new heaven and new earth and a holy city, the new Jerusalem, is coming down from heaven and God dwells with you. And you dwell with Him. Think about that. Think about what that means. As after the wedding, the bride and the groom go off together to join and start an intimate union to dwell in a new household together. On this day, God dwells with you, His church in an intimate union like never before, where you, His people, will dwell in the presence of a holy God and His Son, Jesus Christ, forever. Can you imagine what that might be like? Can you imagine what that might be like to dwell in the presence of a holy God, to be seated in the presence of Christ your Savior and the God who the Israelites could not see as they could not enter that Holy of Holies, a God for you who is in heaven, and you can be in His presence? Well, you know, you do not have to imagine what it will be like. Because as you go on to verse 4, John in this vision tells you what it will be like. John gives you a glimpse from your Mount Nebo, right here, the church. And look what he sees. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Can you imagine anything more intimate than that? As a mother who wipes away the tear of her child who comes having suffered some sort of accident or pain or some sort of hurt, mom wipes away the tear and tells the child everything will be okay. God in this place wipes away the tears. So intimate is this relationship. He wipes away the tears of the saints who have suffered so much to go there. And there, we're told at the end of verse 4, will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This week we received news that my brother's wife, her sister, 40 years old, died from cancer. 1 year ago, she found out that she had inoperable colon cancer. All of a sudden, it was discovered. She went through a long year of experimental treatments, chemo, a year that for her lasted forever, especially trying to say goodbye to her husband and her two young children. But on Wednesday, she went to a place where there is no death or mourning or crying or pain. She faithfully had professed her faith and love for her Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, after that long battle with that illness, the Lord is there to wipe away her tears. What John pictures for us here is a glimpse of eternity in all its fullness. God has a place for His church and His people where there is no death, no mourning, no pain. The old order of things, the earth, the beast, the false prophet, Satan himself who dwells on the earth and attacks the church of Christ, it is destroyed. It is gone. It cannot bring any harm to any saint who is in this place. And all the tears shed for the life on this earth, the struggles, the battles with sin, with illnesses, with pain, with relationships, all of those things are gone forever. For this is a new order of things. an order of things where you, His church, will dwell with God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His presence forevermore. And this morning, as you have gathered here to hear the proclamation of the Word, as you have read and heard about a glimpse of that place, you also are gathered here to taste of that place. Do you remember the spies? The spies who, as Joshua sent them into the land, came back and brought back portions of the fruit of the land. They brought back the grapes from the land for the people to eat so they could taste the fruit of the promised land. So did our Savior leave you a taste of your promised land. Your Savior, your groom, He left behind a meal. A meal which comes from heaven and is celebrated on the earth. A meal in which you will partake, eating and drinking of the wedding feast of the Lamb. That someday in all its fullness, in that dwelling place with God, where there is no pain or suffering or death, you, as a member of His church, you, whom He has loved and died for, will gather there and eat and drink of this meal. This morning, you have opportunity to participate in this meal even now. For the meal before us is a heavenly meal. The fruits that you taste of are the fruits of salvation. The bread of our Lord, the wine of our Lord, the wedding supper of the Lamb, right now in this place. Let us prepare our hearts and minds as we eat and drink of these heavenly things. Let us remind ourselves of the first verse, the words of the first verse of the hymn we are about to sing. Soul, adorn yourself with gladness. Leave the gloomy haunts of sadness. Come into the daylight splendor. There with joy your praises render. Bless the one whose grace unbounded this amazing banquet founded. He, though heavenly, high, and holy, deigns to dwell with you, most holy. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for this word which gives us a peek of heavenly glory. And Lord, as we've been reminded this morning, as we read the book of Revelation, as we read through the Bible, as we live our lives here on this earth, there is so much pain and suffering, and we are surrounded by the wages of sin, which is death. We rejoice, O Lord, that we are reminded in these verses of a place that you have for us, for your saints. We rejoice in our Savior who died on the cross and who paid for our sins so that we can go to that place and be with you. And now, Lord, as we gather around this table, this heavenly meal, remind us that we are now on earth experiencing a taste of heaven, that, Lord, we may know that this salvation is ours and our eternal destiny has been determined by you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.